This is PX Pulse, the Advocacy Chronicles, where advocates highlight key issues and get into what's at stake and how to win. Each episode is a discussion with one leading advocate and explores a campaign at the forefront of global health equity. We spotlight strategies that work, winning tactics, and improvised solutions. I'm your host, Manju Chitani Gada. In this episode of the Advocacy Chronicles, we're putting a spotlight on the US, on the dismal statistics on access to PrEP in communities of color, on the state of HIV prevention among Black Americans overall, and the work of one advocacy group, PrEP in Black America, or PIBA. Today, we're delighted to talk to Danielle Campbell, one of the founders of PIBA and a longtime advocate for HIV prevention and health equity. Danielle's background also includes serving as a member of the research faculty at the Charles R. Drew University of Medicine and Science and a member of the Community Scientific Subcommittee for a Global HIV Research Network. Welcome, Danielle. Danielle, we've been following PIBA's work since it was founded in 2022, and it's become a powerhouse as a trusted leader for bringing together influential stakeholders, including government-level decision makers in the HIV response. Convening power is a kind of win in and of itself, and today that's what we want to explore with you. But first, please give us a snapshot on what the story is with PrEP uptake and access for Black communities in the U.S.
So I think those in earshot of this recording should know that globally, people of African descent bear the unfortunate burden of being overdiagnosed with HIV. We represent the majority of incident and prevalent diagnoses of HIV. In the U.S., unfortunately, that global trend follows. So Black people comprise 14% of the U.S. population, and yet we comprise more than 42% of incident diagnoses, according to the most recent CDC data. And so here we are, 10 years post-approval of PrEP, and there were still abysmal rates of uptake of PrEP in Black communities. So when you put the two in juxtaposition to one another, we know that something else needs to be done. Obviously, the current advocacy trends are not effective in this population of folk. Our treatment cascade is absolutely failing Black people in preventing new HIV diagnoses. The systems of care, prevention, treatment, cure, et cetera, are not penetrating Black communities. And so PIBA was formed on the heels of this 10-year anniversary by a group of advocates who were just literally sick and tired of hearing that statistic that I quoted at the top of the call.
That statistic that Black people comprise 42% of new HIV cases, but are only 14% of the population, demonstrates an enduring failure of the HIV response. And especially as the country marked the 10-year anniversary of the approval of oral PrEP, I can see how it motivated Black leaders in the HIV response to form PIBA, and that it since has become a serious force shaping this conversation. I understand that at two recent PIBA convenings, there were hundreds who showed up to tackle what needs to happen to overcome these entrenched barriers to PrEP in the Black community. I understand that the attendees included leaders from the NIH and the CDC and veteran activists from Black communities across the country. Now, that's what we've heard about. But what are you seeing? Who's showing up and why are they coming?
The uniqueness to PIBA is that we've been able to bring all sectors of the Black community into one convening, and we saw a tremendous amount of showing up in support of the PIBA effort by our federal partners, by research partners. We had Harold Phillips in his then role at ONAP. We've had Robin Fanfare come out. We've had local leaders and jurisdiction leaders to come out. We've had health department staff to come out. I think it's more than just your, I guess, HIV celebs who've come out in support of this cause. We've had students from HBCUs come out. We've had artists and local talent. We've had, I think, all sectors of the Black community engaged in this work. There's obviously a gap and a need, but it feels absolutely amazing to know that people have responded. So Black folks are coming because there's finally a space for us to come together to coalesce. Plain and simple. Previous to PIBA's work, where can you point to an entity that's focused on HIV prevention efforts in the U.S. that is Black-led, Black-focused, Black-centered? There wasn't one. That's the uniqueness of PIBA. That's the challenge in our remit. If we have a shot at changing some of these outcomes that we see around HIV prevention, Black folks have to be in the lead.
This is really incredible. And for listeners who don't know, Harold Phillips is the former director of the White House Office of National AIDS Policy, or ONAP, and Robin Fanfare is the director of the Division of HIV Prevention at the National Center for HIV, Viral Hepatitis, STDs, and TB. Both are key public leaders in the American HIV response. And HBCUs are historically Black colleges and universities. Danielle, what's behind the success, you think? What choices is PIBA making that is drawing in all these stakeholders? What strategies are you using to make sure you're getting all these influential stakeholders to the table?
One, it's led with commitment. It's led with abject love. This started off as a volunteer effort amongst a group of advocates who are versed in policy, advocacy, science. We started off with not a nickel in the bank. We started off with having a conversation in full recognition that the current systems in place do not serve Black people from a lens of HIV prevention. So that's the driving force. I wish it was something more elaborate, but it is just that pure love for people and pure commitment to change. That's the driving factor. The impact comes in our ability to effectively engage our communities. So it's not just the celebs that you see, the experts that come down off the hill or out of the tower to come and have these dialogues, these much needed dialogues that obviously people are hungry to participate in. Hundreds of Black folks, regardless of sero status, geographic region, professional affiliation, attend PIBA convenings. All of our outputs from advocacy to policy to research, they're all driven by this collective dialogue that's facilitated at each of our PIBA convenings and engagements throughout the year, right? PIBA's work just is not centered around the convenings or the issues that we confront therein, but it's continued engagement throughout the year. And it's something that this community, that my community has desperately needed. I think folks feel like there's a cause that they can tap into, that they have agency and voice within. And that's what keeps our attendance really, really engaged.
Inspirational. Grounding your agenda in what you are hearing from your communities, focusing on the unmet needs, facilitating collective dialogue, leaning on leadership and expertise from the community, and continual engagement. Those all sound like invaluable tactics that are making PIBA successful. Now, Danielle, you also said earlier that PIBA came together to find solutions, generate an agenda for PrEP access with Black communities, and then all this momentum materialized. So how are you using this momentum? What's PIBA calling for now?
PIBA has focused its most recent efforts on building a national research agenda with a focus on Black participation and research from every angle. So that includes Black scientists, Black researchers, Black trial participants. That in and of itself leads to access for PrEP. Novel Black-led scientific solutions better connection between biomedical advances in Black communities, better understanding of the science, better understanding of community needs, and most importantly, a restorative trust. We're calling for accountability. We're calling for a restructuring of the current systems that we are clear do not effectively serve our communities.
What are you going to be tracking as a sign that things are moving in the right direction?
When we see the number of Black people who are prescribed PrEP, that's an indicator of change. It was initially about 7%, then 9%, now it's 11%. There are certain factors, advocacy, that may be driving that system-wide change. That's one indicator of a win. Another indicator of a win is each strategic partnership that we develop. That's through National Black Professional Organizations as they retool their advocacy plans to include HIV prevention. That's through key engagement with the National Institutes of Health to incorporate the feedback from Black communities. Those are all strategic wins as defined by the communities that we serve.
Those are concrete measures of your advocacy success, and they also show the value of strategic partnerships. What would you want others to know if they were looking to mobilize Black communities to overcome these kinds of barriers?
The number one piece of advice that I would offer to anyone who wanted to engage Black communities is to take the time to get to know who the key players are within the community and engage with those folks first prior to planning your own engagement strategy with Black communities. There's been histories, long histories of systemic abuse perpetrated by systems of oppression against Black people. So there has to be first a partnership of trust built and established. And through those partnerships with key stakeholders, key opinion leaders, and gatekeepers of those communities, then will you be able to effectively engage with those communities. But it's really about knowing who your population that you'd like to interface with looks like.
In reality, what you're describing is essential for mobilizing community in any country. It's essential to know your community and really understand the issues at play and to make sure you're working with the right partners. Thank you.
Absolutely.
But Danielle, what about the pitfalls? What should advocates and organizers expect or avoid when bringing people together and mobilizing community?
With any advocacy effort, it's really about understanding what the different sectors of your community and what their, I guess, sort of vested interests are in your effort. So the Black community is not a monolith, right? We wanted to understand like the needs and desires of, let's say, our trans folks, our gender diverse folks, our cisgender women, our pregnant folks, our same gender loving men, our research scientists, our policymakers. I think one of the challenges and opportunities for growth has been encapsulating all of those diverse needs and centering them as part of an effective mobilization effort. How do you make sure that you leave no Black bodies behind? So even if we've thought that we've done our very, very best to engage every sector, every profession, every gender and sex and community representation within the Black community, there's always one community that says, you may have forgotten about us. Here's how you can do better to represent our needs. Here's how we can be better engaged in your advocacy strategies and plans and conversations and policy and research efforts. There's always room for engaging more. So I think, again, one of the challenges is recognizing that not only are we as strong as everybody who's represented at the table, but there's always an opportunity to take a second glance to make sure that everybody is, in fact, moving with us as we roll out these national strategic plans and research agendas.
Not only is this a strategic approach, it's an inclusive and compassionate and an equitable one. You can learn more about PIVA's call to action and the case for supporting their agenda in their report, For Us, By Us, Prep in Black America, a master plan for HIV prevention. Find this and other resources supporting PIVA's work at avac.org/PXPulse. Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Manju Chatani Gada.